G7, number 3B.
So there is a lot in this sentence. Let's look up a few of them. She says, at present, I'm in a different department of Christian work. So she makes the distinction of different parts. Well, she has said healing is a part, and it's the first part, but more than a grain of Christian Science must be understood. And that other part in which she was working, she said that it was to instruct in the principle of Christian Science, that instruction, that teaching is necessary. It's necessary that we know what we know, that we understand what we say. We say a lot which we don't understand without knowing that we don't understand it. That's a trouble. And that furnishes its own proof. I see a whole world upside down now. That he says that principle furnishes its own proof. Its own, what principle wants to demonstrate. Do we want that? Or have we up to now wanted that? Or did we want the proof that we wanted, and not that principle wanted? Did we not go to the practitioner and say, this and this is my disease, my sickness, my problem, and that problem should be solved? Mostly they say quickly. The patient was defining or was defining the form of the proof. They don't want the form of principles proof, which is in most cases something very different. A principle wants us to change things that we are not thinking of. That the principle wants to change our surroundings, our attitude, our whole motive, things like that. The principle wants its own proof and not our proof. We can't really dictate to the divine principle what the divine principle should heal, how to heal, how quickly to heal, when to heal, through which channel to heal, etc., etc., etc. It is that wonderful sense that we have to leave to the Christ the workings of the Christ and let the Christ work out its own way of demonstration. Then we are humble and meek enough to let God do the job. Let the Christ do the job, whatever that job is. And very often it's something very different than what we are wishing and that we are wanting. Very different. And this needs that great humility that we must gain. Yes. Then we go further and come to the tone of love. And this is also interesting here. She says, through many generations, human belief will be attaining diviner conceptions. Can you see that there is progress, that there is a future through many generations? She sees that it takes step by step, generation by generation, in order that the idea of Christian Science evolves. And the immortal and perfect model of God's creation will finally be seen as the only true conception of being. We have read this sentence. Have we ever asked ourselves, what is that perfect model of God's creation? What is the perfect model of God's creation? Did we ask ourselves that? And if we did ask ourselves, we answered it through our human sense of a model of perfect creation. certainly a human sense, but not the divine sense. So we come to the point, well, what is the model of God? And I guess we could ask, we could answer and say, well, we have the model of being today. We have the model of being, the chart, and that's a perfect model. And that perfect model is perfect. Why is it perfect? Why can we say that's perfect? Why that is not the human sense of a divine model? Because it consists only of the capitalized terms. Then it is a perfect model. When only the capitalized terms are under consideration. Or she says, mortals will realize the signs of man and seek the true model. Can you see? Always comes up, there is a true model. Have you ever thought out what that model is in earlier times? I don't think so. We had a idealistic or a exalted sense of a model without defining it what that model is, but that's not science. Only when a model is scientific, then it is a true model. If you make a model of a new town or for a new house or so, it's an exact description or what can you say, a model, description of the house that will be built. So it's something very exact. It's nothing that is indefinite or undefined. Yes. So again, we can say today we are in an age where really those questions that Mrs. Eddy asked for the future, for that we can now fulfill them because we have the necessary model of it, we have the necessary method for it, and the necessary scientific instruments for it. Yes. So we have done those seven synonymous terms just by taking out a few of the synonymous terms and looking at them and see that there is a progress and a progression to be expected. Now, again, in order to substantiate that idea that we have to be prepared for a consciousness paradigm shift, we can see that that was the demand also in the earlier times. When you take, for instance, Jesus, he did the same thing as Mrs. Eddy. He also projected into the future a complete new vista, complete new revelation. So he said, the Father shall give you another comforter. He said, I don't give it to you. Just as Mrs. Eddy didn't give it. She has hidden it in her book, but she didn't spell it out. She didn't spell out the system. She had the system, but didn't spell it out. Jesus knew the Father, but he didn't spell it out. He said, the time is not right, you would not understand me now, but if I would tell you, you have to wait, but I will send the new comforter, the Paraclete. And that comforter will teach you all things. So he said, I don't teach you all things. I heal you, I comfort you, but I don't teach you all things. You can't swallow it, you can't stomach it. You have to wait. That's what Mrs. Eddy saw. When she began with Christian Science teaching way back in the 60s of the last century, well, what did she do? She took very simple people, those shoemakers from the shoe factories that had no education, that had no big vision, but had a good heart apparently, had a good motive apparently, and she taught them Christian Science on the level of mentalism. Just on the mental state of affirming the truth, denying the error, They would not even know what the truth is, but it was their truth that they affirmed and denied. Their error, where they felt was erroneous, no matter if it was error or not. You know, it was so, on such a primitive level. And she complained that she had to translate her vision right down to that level where people could somehow get it. And it's only after another 20 years that she said in one of her classes, now for the first time I could teach the class on the basis of the synonymous terms. So we can see that there is a necessity to translate the teaching always right down to the level where the age is. So Jesus also said, I will teach, the Comforter will teach you all things in the future. Ye cannot bear them now. You cannot bear them now. The story is, which one reads in some of the books, that Mrs. Eddy got her revelation in a language that we would not understand. And so some of her students at one day said to her, now tell us, give us an example how you got the vision, with language. And so she told it language-wise what the vision, and the student couldn't understand it, couldn't understand that language. So she had to translate her vision, the language of spirit, she had to translate it to our sense of language today, of her day, so to say. Have you ever thought of Mrs. Eddy if she were here today? If all those last years would not have happened, if Christianity just had gone on in the ordinary way of Protestantism, of Catholicism, and so Methodism, Baptism, and so on, and that now, today, Mrs. Eddy would be here and would have the revelation. Do you think she would write the textbook the way she wrote it? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. She would write it in the language of today. She didn't know anything about the language of today. Just as when I listen to colleagues that are talking about computers, you know, I don't understand a word what they are saying, because I don't know anything about computer. They have a new language. They have their own language. They talk about things that I haven't the faintest idea what they are talking about until I get sick of it and walk away. Thinking, and that's happened, you see. She would not quote as authorities professors that lived in the year 1800, which she does in the end of the sixth chapter. She would not do that. Actually, it is so that, that's interesting, a university student, a very, very talented university student, a musician, and I don't know what, so talented that he made at the same time as he went through the courses of the first 4 years, he already wrote his thesis. He wrote his thesis before he did the first exams. And he was reading my books and all of my books from first page to the last page, and he said, Max, you are the very first author that I have met who does not contradict himself. All the other professors, no matter what I study, physics or if it's medicine or any other thing, biology, they always contradict themselves. You are the first one who does not. Very simple. I'm not a genius. I just have one principle and always deduce from that one principle. That's so easy. That doesn't need a genius. But he said to me, when I read the textbook, then I must say that textbook is old. There is so much in it which we at the university are taught and know that's no novelty for us. A great part of it is no more a novelty. It was a novelty 100 years ago, it was a novelty 50 years ago, it was a novelty 30 years ago, not today. And that's understandable. Mankind has evolved through another 100 years, has grown in the sciences, has acquainted themselves with all the new ideas of sciences, and therefore has another consciousness. And therefore, she would write the textbook differently in language, not in structure. That's the beauty of it. She couldn't write it in another structure, because what she discovered was not what she spelled out in the textbook. What she discovered was the deep structure, that structure that lies deeper, what is that term?
Beneath
the surface of the text. The text is one way, one symbolism of the deep structure that has no symbolism. All right, I introduced two terms, surface structure, deep structure. That's a very important point, a very easy point. There was a man, a well-known man in literature called Chomsky, who taught at the MIT, and he found out, or he was asking himself, perhaps I can explain it this way. He was asking himself, why is it that there are so many languages when they all say the same thing? When they all can say the same thing. Say, if the idea I want to express is this, tomorrow I go to town. Let's say, that's an idea. Tomorrow I go to town. If you go to a Chinese, he says, what is this culture? If you go to a German, he says, morgen gehe ich in die Stadt. If you go to a Spanish, he says it differently. If you go to an Italian, he says it differently. That's the surface structure. The languages, thousands of them today, it's a surface structure. It sounds always different. It has different symbols. But deep down, they say the same thing. That's a deep structure. Why is it that you are born in Japan and you speak Japanese? Why is it that if you are born in Germany, you speak German? Why is it that you are born in America and you speak American or English? More American than English. Why is it? See, that's the surface structure. That can vary and vary and vary and vary and vary, but invariable is the deep structure. And what Mrs. Eddy showed and what the Bible showed, as we know, is the surface structure, the symbolism of their time. Whatever the time was, they changed really the symbolism. And so today the symbolism of the textbook is another symbolism than of the Bible. And the deep structure, as we know, is the same. The deep structure is the seven and the four and the four, the 15 root notions of the spiritual language, of the language of spirit. Yes? So we must see that we are not too much attached to the surface language of the textbook, but of the deep structure of the textbook. Yes?
Can
So we can see that even Jesus had the same problem as Mrs. Eddy, that she had to say, well, if I would tell you all things, you wouldn't understand them. And so Mrs. Eddy would say, if I would tell you the vision in my language, in the deep structural language, they wouldn't understand it. I could perhaps speak that language of Mrs. Eddy, that deep structural language. I could perhaps say to you, the roof category of the world shown as really the Christ as Christianity in the world order. Huh? That's one of the prophets. Huh? Instead of telling all the prophets, the whole text of the prophet, I could just say that. That would be the deep structure. You wouldn't understand me, or you can understand me now that you know the categories of being. Huh? Are you with me? Yes? Good. Good. Yes? So, she says also something which we may forget in miscellaneous writing. She says, scarcely a moiety. Is that the right pronunciation? Scarcely a moiety compared with the whole of the scripture and the Christian Science textbook is yet assimilated spiritually by the most, by the most faithful thinkers. So she takes out of the whole field of Christian Science, she takes just those most spiritual thinkers and says, not even they have understood half of it, a bit of it. Only they have perhaps yet understood a bit of it, but not the whole. Half of it, but not the whole. That was terrific. And you know that she was complaining in the 90s still, in the 1890s still, that she has not found a student who could really teach the subject. And then she changed that afterwards when she had Kimball as a student. Then she crossed that out in her writings. So for the first time, I think, with Kimball, she felt, I found a student who somehow understands what I want to teach. Yes, centuries, she says, will intervene before the statement of the inexhaustible topics of that book becomes sufficiently understood to be absolutely demonstrated. So centuries will intervene. One century has intervened. We forget that. One century has already intervened, more than one century. Century, nearly a third or half of it. So we must see that we are on the way to go, to come away from the primitive teaching of the early years of her teaching. Yes. Yeah, that's one thing. Then, I have only 5 minutes, and that's an important one. We can ask ourselves, but how does the self-development of the understanding of Christian Science come about? We were usually asking that it comes through a teacher, through our teacher, through our practitioner, through the churches. They are the channels through which the idea will evolve. Has it evolved? She says, must Christian Science come through the Christian Science... Must Christian Science come through the Christian churches, as some persons insist? The Christian Science Church should be a Christian church, shouldn't it be? Must it come through the Christian churches? This science has come already. It has come already. It lies there somewhere in the stable in Bethlehem. It's come already after the manner of God's appointing, not according to the director's appointing, according to God's appointing. Why don't we read the textbook as it is written? Why do we always read it the way we like to read it? It says it comes according to God's appointing, and God appoints, and not people appoint. But the churches seem not ready to receive it. That's true too. According to the scriptural saying, he came into his own, but his own received him not. Isn't that true? Haven't we experienced that? But then, how does it come if it doesn't come through the churches? And Mrs. Eddy gives an answer in the last chapter of her textbook. And we stress that quite often this week. She says, in this age, the earth will help the woman. She doesn't say in this age, the Christian Science Church with the directors and with all the oligarchy of the church will help it. The earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea. Now listen to the term will, because it gives a sense of the future, but also the sense that the future will fulfill it. He says, in this age, the earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea will be understood. Those ready for the blessing you impart will give thanks. The waters will be pacified. The Christ will command the waves. So that's what she can see, that the earth will help the woman. What is that earth? The earth is the whole world. Huh? The earth is what's going on in the whole world. The earth is the whole world's consciousness. The earth is that those scientists in the world that are progressive in their thinking that go on, they will help the woman. And we would not even be surprised if the natural scientists will really push on Christian science. I wouldn't be surprised, because they are so open to everything that is new. They are open to paradigm shifts. They love paradigm shifts, some of them. Yes. Okay, that's that.